ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When you're in your 20s, you tend to turn heads just by virtue of youth, a resource our society is absolutely obsessed with. And even though that kind of attention can feel overwhelming when you're younger, as we age, it can feel like people stop paying attention to us entirely, which is why I absolutely love spotting an older fashionista who's just killing it. When I see a woman who's a couple of decades older than me rocking giant, brightly coloured specs and great big statement jewellery and one of those big breezy linen smocks, I'm like, that's who I want to be when I grow up. Because aging can also bring a sense of freedom. And a lot of us age into ourselves, especially the way we dress and express our personalities. Well, you're about to hear from a woman who has made a career out of observing and critiquing how people dress. Internet sensation, Fashion Critical. Fashion Critical is with me. She's just released a book, Fashion Critical, Red Carpet Looks and Lols from an Undercover Fashion Critic. Fashion Critical, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you very much.
I feel like you should.
As you can see, my style has evolved in quite unhinged ways recently.
For people who are listening on the radio, please describe how you are presenting yourself this morning.
I'm wearing like a metallic dress with frilly things around the collar in sort of like a rainbowy metallic colour. It's like giving frill neck lizard from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And then over my face, I have like a big gold net bow that's kind of covering up part of my face. So, you know, just a regular Wednesday morning over here.
Just normal Wednesday looks. Have you found, because for people who aren't familiar with your whole vibe, your acid-tongued or acid-keyboarded red carpet look breakdowns on the internet, and you're famously very secretive about your true identity, the fascinators have just become part of your everyday style now.
I have. And so prior to the book launch, I hadn't shown myself really ever. And so I figured I was going to have to do some publicity around it. And I thought, I'll just keep my face covered, and hadn't really worked out how that was going to happen. And thankfully, I was introduced to a most amazing milliner who has a millinery brand called Somewhere Here. Her name's Andrea, and she has created a bunch of custom headpieces for me that have been so extra and so amazing. She's such a genius, and every time I have an outfit, I send her a text and go, help, and this is what she comes up with.
Incredible.
Amazing.
Are you just like squinting behind them, trying to like look through the mesh?
Well, I can't really see very well through this one, so it was a great one for radio. But yes, there is netting kind of touching my eyeballs now. So, but you know, we suffer for our art.
So the whole thing, your whole bit is like critiquing people's style on the red carpet. Do you worry about people criticising you?
Heavens to Betsy, yes, and also no. So yes, because obviously I've been doing Fashion Critical for a long time. I think it's been 14 years. That's the party line that I've drawn. I actually don't know when I started it, but I think it's been around 14 years. And over that time, there's very much developed kind of a vernacular around particular things that I look for and like funny little details. And so now that I'm trotting myself out in public, I know people are going to be looking at these details, and I better not get them wrong. So in that light, yes, I worry. But on the other hand, honestly, everything that Fashion Critical is about making people laugh and about humour. So if I end up being the butt of a joke, that's cool too. I don't mind.
What kind of things are you most conscious of because you have criticised them the most over the years?
Indeed, yes. So nails, you have to have your nails done. Toes, I've got a big thing with toes, and people often ask me about what constitutes a toe violation. And it's generally speaking, if I'm looking at a celebrity on the red carpet and I notice their toes, that's all it takes. I don't want to be noticing toes. If you're in a couture gown and, you know, you've had a team of 10 people getting you ready, I sure as heck don't want to look at your toes. So the ways that toes can cause problems, they can be, your shoe can be too big and they kind of splay out. Your shoe can be too small and they're all crunchy. You haven't done your, you haven't got a pedi. So there's weird little things like that. And then I'm very big on crotch whiskers. So that's when you have creasing in the crotch region, which is usually sustained while traveling to the venue sitting down. So you'll now see a lot of celebrities going in these giant tall vans and actually standing up or lying sort of stiff as a board in the back seat so they don't get creased. But what I do want to say is these rules apply to celebrities on the red carpet. They do not apply to regular people going about their business or regular people dressing up to go to a party. This level of critique is reserved only for people whose job it is to appear on red carpets. So I want to make that very clear.
And who have a whole team of people whose job it is to make sure they look absolutely flawless once they get there. You are listening to
Correct.
Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm talking to Fashion Critical. You know her from her recaps of red carpet looks on social media, or if you don't know her from that, you do now, because that's why we got her on here to have a chat about it today. Barbara, you stopped letting people decide how you should dress. Tell me about that.
Yes, I'm now in my 80s, and it took till my mid-30s when a dear friend said, look, you have the right to walk out your door feeling like a queen every day, so dress that way. And I straightened up and thought, yeah, well, here we are rag collecting. We can peel off some of the clothes at no expense and experiment cheaply. I transferred that to going to op shops. And, of course, for quite a while I did dress like a hippie. But I've moved with what colours suit me. And I swan in and out of various op shops and look for costume jewellery and textures and colours that I like. And I can always put them back, you know, take them back to the shop, particularly to op shops in the area where I live that give back from their earnings to pouring it back into local people's concerns. So, yeah, I do walk out the door very conscious of what I'm wearing and pleased with what I'm wearing. And I notice that younger women do compliment me.
I love that. Barbara, that's beautiful. I'm going to hit up my local op shop on the way home, I think, and see if I can find some vintage jewels like you. Frank in Canberra, how has your style changed over your life?
It hasn't really.
Okay.
Since I got a job, since I finished uni, I've basically been wearing the same style for the last 30 plus years. You know, it's easy for guys because you just put on a suit and, you know, that's all you really need to do. But I've still got, you know, clothes from my 20s that I still wear, which is, rather cool.
Frank, you must have invested in some really good pieces over the years. Thanks so much for the call. You can call me and tell me about how you've grown into your style as you age. Call me on 1300 225 576, because I'm talking to Fashion Critical this morning about this. Fashion Critical, listening to Frank talking there saying it's easier for blokes, do you reckon that's true?
I do think that's true. I think men are just simply not scrutinised in the same way that women are, firstly, about their appearance. But secondly, I kind of feel sorry for the guys because they haven't really had a great opportunity to play with fashion in the way that women have. If you look at, you know, menswear, it has not really changed a great deal over decades. It's suits, it's shirts, it's ties. If you're dressing up, there's not a lot to work with. And one of the things that's been really cool to see on the red carpet, really only in the last few years, is the way that men's fashion on the red carpet has started to have a bit more fun. So every single person used to wear a tuxedo, and I hardly ever included men in my red carpet roundups because it was just yawn-worthy. But now we're seeing men play a lot more with, you know, sequins and glitter and different fabrics and different colours. And we've even seen a lot of kind of bending around gender rules. So we've seen, you know, Brad Pitt's worn a skirt to a press call before. We've seen people like Billy Porter really mix things up. You know, he was the first person to wear this kind of tuxedo gown at the Oscars a few years ago. So I think that's freed up men to have a bit more fun with their fashion, but I'm not sure that that's translated as much to kind of what we see in the shops for men.
What about this idea of aging? We're sort of looking at red carpet, it kind of skews young, right, when we're talking about celebrities, but have you noticed anything around older celebs kind of really owning their style as they get older?
100%. And I think that Hollywood is maybe one place where women, as they get older, don't necessarily become as invisible because there are still, you know, people like Meryl Streep and Helen Mirren and Glenn Close and, you know, Emma Thomas, amazing, amazing actresses who are still acting and still working. So we still get to see them on the red carpet, which is really cool. And actually in my book, I have a section on the people who I think are aging like fine wine in terms of their fashion. And some of the people that I just mentioned are in there. Jane Fonda wore one of the best looks I have seen. And it's in my, I think it's in my top 20 best looks. I really should check these things before I'm doing interviews. but she was at Cannes and she wore this amazing fitted jumpsuit and like a kind of faux leopard fur jacket, and she had this old Hollywood hair and a red lip, and she looked so sexy. She looked absolutely, she kind of looked like a mob wife. It was really, really amazing. It was one of the best looks I'd seen in years. And she's in her 80s, I'm pretty sure. So I just absolutely love seeing that on the red carpet. And as Barbara said earlier, I absolutely love seeing it on the street. And it is quite rare to see women of a certain vintage really going for it with their clothes. And as Barbara said, you do deserve to walk out feeling like a queen every day. And whatever that means to you, I think people should be allowed to have as much fun as they want with their fashion. And I certainly don't think there should be age limits on that.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Fashion Critical, anonymous internet fashion critic. She critiques red carpet looks with a bit of an Aussie flair. And we're talking about growing into your style as you age. I'd love to know about your style, how your style's evolved over the years or decades or probably not centuries. Send me a picture, if you've got one, of like your iconic look. I'd love to see what you where to present yourself to the world. Tell me how you've grown into your style. And thank you for your texts. One says, I'm in my 70s and my style is boho, I guess. I'm going back to my youth in the 60s and early 70s hippie style. I found a few brands I absolutely love and buy most of my clothes online as I know they'll fit. I've found some brands that fit my body and I stick to them. And another person's asking, how has our acceptance of different body shapes changed her view? Fashion Critical, over the last decade, we've sort of seen this body positivity movement kind of bloom and sort of wither a little bit in the last few years. What have you observed over that time?
Well, it's funny you should mention that as I do another shameless book plug. But there is a section in my book around seeing curvy women looking amazing on the red carpet. And there was a quote that Octavia Spencer, who's an incredible actress who I think always looks beautiful on the red carpet, she said years ago, I'm not sure what year it was, but that she really found it hard to find anyone to dress her on the red carpet. And this is not a large woman. This is, you know, she's probably a size 14. She's curvy. She's beautiful. And she couldn't get designers to dress her. I think that has definitely changed now. I think it's still an issue. You do hear people saying even now that that's an issue because I think, you know, to be fair to the designers, they are usually trotting out samples and they usually only make the samples in one size. They don't necessarily have the whole range made yet. So that could be part of the issue. But, yeah, we've certainly seen women in all different bodies really owning that space on the red carpet and not, you know, feeling, I think it comes back to, again, that idea that women in larger bodies, you know, there used to be this sort of sense that they should hide, they should try to blend into the background. And the same goes with older women. And we've just seen, you know, people say, hell no to that and rocking, you know, the most incredible gowns and amazing looks. I mean, to your point, we are now seeing a lot of those women that we really looked up to for being out in the public eye in different bodies. We've seen a lot of them shrinking in the last couple of years for reasons that, you know, we're not necessarily privy to, but there is a particular drug that people are enjoying for weight loss. And, you know, that's fine. It is what it is and people have the right to look after their health in whatever way suits them. But I definitely find it very inspiring when we see women of different body shapes really, really stepping into their style and not being afraid to be looked at.
There's a few texts that really speak to that idea of just kind of owning who you are and your style. One says, I'm a 69-year-old male and I've just discovered women's jumpers. Men's choices are crew or V. Girls' jumpers show off your groovy shirt and are much more structured. Another person says, I was at art school in the 80s, so punk. London in the late 80s. Now I live on the coast, so comfy. And this week, cozy. No more high heels or cowboy boots. Oh, come on. You got to hold on to the cowboy boots at least for a little bit. And Louise has called in on 1300 225 576. Louise, you're a fashion designer. Tell me about it.
I'm a designer maker, I call myself, which is what I am. I've had my own sustainable clothing label for 50 years. I wear a mixture of my own label and vintage clothing. Generally, all of that is I either made it or collected it last century. So I still wear it all. I might accessorise it differently. I'm 66, and people will say to me, you've still got long hair. I mean, there isn't some rule that when you turn a certain age, you cut your hair off and don't wear fishnets or hot pants anymore. If you feel good in it and you look good, you just wear it. I'm known for my sustainable clothing label. I disagree about men only just getting into sequins and colours. I mean, back in the 60s and 70s, it was huge.
That's a really good point, actually, that this sort of waves that we see of masculine and feminine. Louise, thank you so much for the call. Long live the hot pants and fishnets. Edgar's, how's your style changed over the years?
It's evolved a lot from, you know, I'm a 44-year-old dad now, so I'm a bit beige in my dress sense. But back when I was at university and even before that at high school, I remember we had a casual clothes day. So I rocked out the kind of, I liked to find interesting outfits at, you know, secondhand stores, you know, your Vinnies and Salvos and that kind of thing. And I remember wearing brown hippie pants, like trousers, brown with yellow pinstripes and a faux kind of brown leather jacket, you know, like that fake leather jacket kind of thing. This was at a private boys' school, and I was on duty as a prefect. And the kind of the stuff that I copped, you know, like everyone was just going, "Who is this weirdo?" And so I channeled that through, you know, high school and at university. I grew my hair a bit long and did the university sort of salvos look, and then got a job and had a uniform, so I had to kind of transition out of that that phase.
The university salvos look is such a mood. Thank you for saying those words together. The idea of kind of having to fit the rules. When you only get one or two free dress days a year in a private school, you've really got to milk them for all they're worth. Fashion critical. We heard one of the callers before talking about people querying her having long hair or wearing certain clothes past a certain age. What's up with these unwritten rules of what we're meant to look like at different ages?
Who could possibly say, but that was such a good point about having long hair as an older woman being seen to be unusual, which is like, who made that up? I wouldn't have a clue. But I think, you know, the point as well around what men might have worn in the 60s and 70s, and I suppose I'm only referring to kind of the more recent sort of 10, 15, 20 years even. I suppose the 80s was quite fun, wasn't it? I suppose there are just these kind of cultural norms that start and people stick to, and who knows where they come from, but we find ourselves just abiding by them because that's what everyone else is doing. And I think it is definitely hard to be that person, as that caller just said, that's walking around, you know, rocking a particular look and that everyone's looking at, and maybe people are thinking that it's weird, or that you're, you know, we do have a weird, you know, tall poppy thing in Australia as well about people kind of stepping out of the box. And I do think it requires bravery, but it shouldn't, but it does.
Actually, there's a text here that I would like to put to you. This person, Roz, is saying, I'm really hating the fact that my style is now dictated by COVID era leisure wear look. Easy to grab, no ironing, no thinking. How can I find a new look? Please help. Fashion critical to the rescue.
Look, we are all wearing activewear 5 years on from COVID because we discovered something wonderful, and that was that we can be comfy and kind of look all right at the same time. And again, feeds into those cultural norms again. Suddenly, we had all of these brands turning to making more activewear and leisurewear because that's what people are wearing and people weren't going out all the time. And now there's this whole kind of style that you can have where you're comfy, but you can still look kind of cool. But I hear her on needing to find a new look. And not everyone can afford this and not everyone wants to do this, but there actually are stylists that you can find that will take you shopping, that will take you to your local mall. There's a guy called Donny Galella who is a celebrity stylist, but he also styles loads of regular women. You can follow him on social media. And I always love watching him when he goes on these little shopping trips with women because he'll often put them in things, and I'm talking about in just regular stores at the mall, nothing, you know, super special or extra expensive. And he'll often put them in things that they wouldn't put themselves in. Mm. And you see this kind of look on their face as they step into the change room and they go, oh, wow, I look really good in this. And I do think we all get stuck kind of knowing what we like and what we look good in and then just getting stuck in that. And sometimes it does take pulling some things off the hanger and off the rack in a shop that you don't necessarily look to and just try them on because you might find yourself being quite surprised and it is just a case of stepping out of the box. But if you are feeling really stuck, there are people who will do that for you as a service, and I think that that could be a really cool experience.
I'm chatting with the Fashion Critical this morning here on Life Matters on ABC Radio National and taking your calls on how your style has changed over your life. Sue, you've started enjoying clothes in your 70s. What changed for you?
Well, I was in my 20s at university, and in the 70s, I was a staunch feminist and I could wear whatever I liked and no bra and hair on my body, and it was a statement. And then gradually, I took on a professional role, and in my 50s and 60s, I just remember this, a student, I was a lecturer, and I was walking up the stairs one day, and the student looked at me and said, nice boots. And I realised I was dressing for the students. And not only that, but I was in a male-dominated field, so I dressed, you know, professionally. And when I retired, I walked out of it in shorts in summer and a T-shirt, and in winter, I'd boots and tracky pants.
Love it.
Comfort.
Love that.
Recently, I found myself dressing in more colours, like orange shirt. My daughter-in-law said, oh, looks great. Big baggy pants with suns on them. And the pinnacle, and nobody who knows me would ever believe this, that's why I have to say it on Radio National. I was at a resort with my family. A woman called me over and said, we've just voted you the best dressed woman on the island.
Love that for you. Sue, congratulations on winning Best Island Dresser Award. That's incredible. I got to get myself some baggy pants with suns on them. Ken, you developed your style overseas. Tell me about it.
I did. I lived in Malaysia for 13 years and I enjoyed the opportunity of a Malaysian tailor. Mm. There were lots of tailor shops in the 1970s and 80s. And just walking into the tailor shop, it was perfectly reasonable to be very selective about the cloth that you chose for your shirt and the cut that you chose for your trousers. And the tailor, of course, that was the tailor's life. And so that, along with my mother going to church when I was a child, has made me very conscious of what I wear. I'm now 80 and I live in a little country town, and I'm so selective. I have a wonderful wardrobe. I have a little open car, very simple old Barina with an open top, and I have a selection of caps and hats. Baker boy hats, and I ride a motorcycle, so I choose my leather jacket. The circumstance, the collarless collar, you know, the sort of Islamic collarless collar. I have my tailor-made shirts from 30 years ago.
And they're still going strong. Ken, you sound so dapper. Thank you so much for the call. Fashion Critical, we're nearly out of time. There's one question that has been burning in my mind since we started chatting that I've got to know before I let you go. Why are you anonymous? Could today be the day that you reveal your true identity?
Alas, today will not be the day. So it started out because I have a job, like most people, and didn't want my silly little social media nonsense to in any way affect my job or my employer or the people that I worked with or my clients. So I just did it, you know, made a separate page that wasn't linked to me personally. And then over the years, it's just become really part of the shtick. And I asked several years ago if my followers would ever like to know who I was. And I thought that maybe it would be, you know, like a 50-50. Some people would say yes, some people would say no. And overwhelmingly, 99% of people said, I never want to know. Please don't ever reveal yourself. So it's just become kind of part of the fun that people don't know who's behind it. And so, yeah, we're going to keep that going.
It just adds to your mystique. And the collection of fascinators, why would you ever want to choose any life other than that?
Well, talking about being confident, it actually has given me, I've had my photo taken a few times and been on TV and whatnot, and it actually gives you a lot of confidence because you don't have to worry about what your face looks like. So that's been interesting. I get where Sia was coming from with all of these headpieces.
Well, Fashion Critical, thank you so much for joining me. Fashion Critical is a social media fashion critic. I don't even know what her name is really in real life, but her book is out now. It's called Fashion Critical, Red Carpet Lukes and Lols from an Undercover Fashion Critic.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.